bless us as we spend the time. We're thankful again for your word and the truths in it, and for this awesome privilege of talking to you. May your spirit lead us into truth and be reminded of great truths as we've been in the book. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Micah note says we are on page 8.
11.
11. When I got that far?
Mm-hmm. And you said not going through.
Okay. I may have marked it and just, oh, there it is.
You said we ended on D, and you, then you said down here we're not going through to us. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That 12. That's funny. I was on this page when I was going, getting ready, and I don't know why I missed it. I mean, it's not in exactly black ink. It's in red ink. Okay, I feel better now. I've been trying to get organized as to know where I'm headed with classes. And our last one will be on the... what? 4th, 5th?
June?
Of June, yeah. Friday's the 8th. 7, 6, 5. That'll be the 5th. And that would be the last one of the quarter. And so, last night I had to make sure in Woodburn, because I have to gauge how much I'm going to do in these things. And we're going to do Memorial Day, and we're going to do the week after we get out. So we'd be in the 11th. We pick up a couple days that way. So that's my compromise.
So the guy who don't seminary to the end of the first week in June?
8th. Yeah. So that's when they get their headaches.
Finals,
yeah.
Yeah.
And today we were drilling some vocabulary. And you know, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to make sure you know that. It sounds like something that might just be on the final. So anyway, Gibbs, I mean, I needed that, so I know where I'm going with a lot of other things. I've got notes I'm working on. I'm trying to tie down for 3 classes, of all things. That's what happens when the forum comes. And so I needed to get that figured out. So I know that between here and the end of everything, I will have piles of stuff to have done or done. The forum caught me. So anyway, so we're on the top of 11 then. Yeah, I'm going to skip down further. But I want to go through 1 through 10 on the significance of the word Tarsukamai. Some key things. It is always addressed to God. We have no instance in Scripture where it's addressed any more than the Father. It's addressed to the Father, not seen that way, related to the Son in this dispensation. It's never to cease. Remember what it means to cease? Who did I get last night? It was funny. I sneaked up on him and with it, and all of a sudden, maybe somebody hadn't heard it. And I said, just don't hang up the phone. And they, and leave it on speakerphone. And whoever it was got tickled about it. It was really kind of funny because, I mean, that's a little pat to me in many ways, but that's the idea. See, I answered my own question. It's to be communicated by a spirit-filled believer. We know that because it's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, verse 6:18 of Ephesians, how does worship fall into that context? What do we have in 6?
Armor.
So you put on the armor, and then what are you doing? You're fighting Satan with your stubby sword, and no, you're standing.
In his might.
Right, and it's all his power and his might, and worshiping him. And so this idea of worshiping, you can't put on the armor unless you're spirit filled. And so then you do that. It's a mental activity. It's not a physical activity. other dispensations, worship was different than the dispensation of grace. Often what is translated worship in the Gospels is a word that has the idea of falling on your face. It's a physical activity of doing obeisance, to use a fancy word. You know, of submitting to someone and showing a submissive attitude. And so it's a different word than prosukamai, it's proskuneo. And that's when you fall and I say scoop dirt. But it's by that act. And so that happened often in Christ's earthly ministry. Prosukamai may not have always meant worship then. It may have been a little bit more general term. Well, we're not going to go through that because we really don't have the time to pursue that. But back, we're talking about what we have to worry about, not other dispensations. And that's what's important to us. And this kind of communication is not to be made in secret in the millennial kingdom. Now, we've got passages here that say that. This is kind of summary. An understanding of worship is essential for understanding of prosukamai. The definition at the beginning is a definition that deals with what worship is. And remember, worship is repeating back to God that which He said about Himself or revealed about Himself. And it has no strings attached. We talk about communion and communication. And worship is a part of our communion with God. We're sharing some things in common that He shared with us. And so when we are worshiping Him, we're relating to those things that He said about Him, and so that we have comfort, encouragement in being able to talk with Him. And so this idea of communion works well when we understand it. And as spiritual believers, it's great when you're mentally communicating with God or even verbally in that. And so we have to know that's what worship is. And so that definition, so a little theology proper goes a long ways. You don't have to do 2 years of studies in dunamis, or the power words, to be able to worship. If you've been 2 years in power words, there's a certain attribute that you would be attentive to somewhat when you're talking to God. I mean, it's funny, when God instructs us in some areas, that helps us understand better, and as we look at we can look at Dr. Schaefer's booklet, The Doctrine of God with the Attributes. There's not a lot there as far as space. I can't fathom how he managed to get that much into that little bit. That booklet, by the way, was originally written to be an article in an encyclopedia, a Bible encyclopedia. And so he had been drafted with other guys and paid to do so, and assigned articles in an encyclopedia like ISB, and it got so far along and they canceled it. The publisher did, or whoever financed it. And so they'd had some investment in it, but he had that article done in theology proper, in fact, it was kind of interesting. He had to get permission to use his own writing, to use it in class, which they did, and it worked out. So that's why it's as concise as it is, which is always a challenge. So that way, but there you have a list of attributes, and what do we have there? Probably 4 pages, maybe, if I remember right. I had it in 8.5 by 11, so if it went into booklet form, so it's hard for me to readjust. Because I have it in other notes. Prosukamai is something we will be doing all the time as we think about God. And who He is, and what He does. And So it's going to involve a lot of our waking moments as we think in these terms. And it takes time to get the habit, as it were. It's interesting how it ties with a lot of other things. The thing we know about prosukhamai is it's a kind of communication that does not expect an answer. I mean, it's just talking to God and it's not in a response to a provision, nor does it expect a provision. So you have two sides of this whole idea of prosukhamai. And that's so different for so many people. They think that all they're praying is just hustling God. That's what them and their attitude is. They want God to do something for them, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to pester him until he does. And if he doesn't, they're going to get mad at him. And they're like little kids sometimes in that matter. And they missed a substantial blessing. And that's what we're talking about to many people. Well, we just said already in this class, there are many people that just, they think we're nuts. I mean, pray without ceasing? Oh. No, that really doesn't mean that. It's really in their minds. And they don't understand it. They couldn't imagine worship like that. And when you see books on worship and that kind of thing, it's really kind of interesting because many of the books on worship take you back to the Psalms, and it's based on that environment. Worship's okay out of the Psalms because you do learn something about God, but it's not about man and how he relates to men in the Psalms. Because when he does that, then you better be careful because there are qualities of his character that are manifested in a law environment. And so we need to remember that. And like I say, it's not a response for something God has done. Remember, there's a word that goes with thanksgiving, and there's a word that goes with praise, and they're the same word, and they just respond differently. They have different sides, and the word is benefit. Thanksgiving is for the benefit, and praise is for the character of God in the benefit. And so you have those two sides. Well, worship is divorced from that. It's separate. Though, when you're praising and you're thanking God, it is very, very easy to move to worship. I mean, when you're praising Him, you're thinking about His character, and your mind, as you relate to it, it tends to wander a little bit. You know, I saw your goodness in what you provided, God. And, good question, just don't answer. You do it in your head, you know. Did you praise God for that little bit of sugar? See, now, if you praised Him, what part of His character? You know, was He good? Did you think of Him as being righteous? Because of something you really like and you did the right thing, God. You know, that's my favorite, or it's next to my favorite, that kind of thing. So see, that can work. But there's a benefit there. So when you're thinking, let's just say goodness, that's pretty easy. And you're thinking about how good God is. And you start thinking about how He shows His goodness in so many ways that are not totally beneficial. I mean, they're not benefits. It's just who He is. And you get taken up with that. That's worship. And that's the idea. So, it is often used with other forms of communication. And that is why you see terms like worship for, worship concerning, these little terms concerning you. Or we are communicating a prayer of worship in order that God would do something. Well, see, that's different kinds of communication that can come with it. And it's just, I mean, it goes both ways. No, it's just, I know it's so easy when you worship and you're thinking about something God has done, and then you think back and all of a sudden you're reminded of a benefit that He provided, and you're still thankful, you still praise Him, and it could be yesterday, 5 minutes ago, or 10 years ago. I mean, it's just interesting with our minds that way. And it's, I mean, to me, it's interesting too, because God sees the whole thing at once. And if we thank Him for something that happened 10 years ago, and we've thanked Him 1,000 times, it's like He was there anyway. And I mean, He was hearing it right at the initial time. And so it's a blessing to understand that God's given us this access to Him in this manner. And so these other forms of communication, I mean, when it says worship for, worship on behalf, see, I'm thinking Greek and it's getting me in trouble. But I did a paper on worship communication for the forum about 20-some years ago. And went through these prepositions. Worship parries, surrounding you, and a lot of these things. And again, we don't really have time now. But a common order is not that, it's just a very logical, normal kind of common order. That is thanksgiving for the things supplied, and I'm using the word benefit more than I did in these notes, for the character of God in supplying the thing or the benefit. Is praise, that's a response. I mean, we're always, I mean, thankfulness is that mark of a spiritual believer. Praise is accompanying it. They're just hand in hand. And worship is also part of being a fellow believer. And so this is just a logical kind of progression as our thoughts relate to God. And so it doesn't hurt to be a little God-minded when we talk to Him. And it helps our being heavenly-minded when it comes to our spiritual life. And so, I mean, that's key. Now, I've put some verses here. I have, I don't remember how many pages, 60 pages probably. In a syllabus I never got finished from 35, 40 years ago. And these are just some representative. It's interesting, but it's not that edifying. So if we look at it in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be prosukamai. Back in the earthly ministry under law, there was prosukamai. Old Testament believers were involved with prosukamai. Most of this tends to be, if you think worship, it makes sense. But it doesn't always necessarily require being worship. And so I give myself the latitude to let it be more than worship. And I do it just because I'm more careful of context and that. And then we have tribulation believers in Mark and in Luke. So I've given you a list of those. I don't think when I've gone through this that many people have gone back and gone through them. But they're there so that you have them. Now, as we come to this next section, I gave you that quick little overview related to worship, and this will relate to the greater amount of detail. And I want to go through this. This is the crux of where I need to go tonight, is this material under letter G on page 12. And so in Romans chapter 1, we're moving into this section I mentioned. It can accompany other kinds of communication, and does accompany. It can be accompanied by, or it can accompany. And it just, the order is all that is. And so in Romans 1:9, we have a verse that uses prosukamai, and what is really interesting here, you have, I had used with another term for communication. And in 10 it says, in the King James, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, it's kind of interesting when you read that. Whoops, I forgot. I wanted to do 9 with that, too. Let's read it with 9. I read 10 because I'm putting it together already. Okay, put 10 with it in your notes. For God is my witness whom I serve. And the word serve there, serve as a priest. Paul likes that. Romans 1 happens to use that in more than one place. With my spirit in the gospel of his son. That without ceasing, see, there's an unceasing word we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So you have this idea of making mention in my prayers. While I'm praying, I make mention of you. It doesn't say I am praying for you. A song that used to be real interesting was done by a gal named Audrey Meyer, and it was, "For you I am praying." This is old. It's awful that I have to say that's old. But and it was a very emotional kind of song. "Now I'm praying for you," and it was quite an interesting, I don't know, it was used in services in a very emotional kind of way. But here he's worshiping, and he mentions them. He's putting some other kind of communication with it. Now look at the next verse where we read instead, "I'm making mention you always in my prayers, requesting while asking," or supplicating. It's the word supplicating. And so what it says, making a request in the AV, and it actually is supplicating. It's a cry for help. They're joined together almost. You have the word "me" in between in the Greek text. "If somehow I might shall have a happy journey to you by the will of God, to come to you," or "to come to you by the will of God." And so he is asking God for help. He'd like to come, but he doesn't know whether he's going to be able to. So there's a big question. And so he's worshiping and supplicating. These are the dominant two. And the inference is, I think supplicating is, he's supplicating for the Romans too on this. There may be an intercession involved in this. We just don't have it noted. And it will fit in this making mention of you. Intercession. We're doing this in a way, I'm using terms and I haven't defined them yet. Intercession is a communication with God on the part of a believer as a priest. And he's standing between God and that individual, and you know the need, and it's someone else. And so you can intercede. So you're standing between. You know, every meal, I'm sure you're interceding. Interceding for that piece of whatever you're eating. That it won't kill you, and all the maggots in the meat are going to poison you. Now, see, I'm getting ahead of myself with this. Because in the New Testament, intercession was made for food. I mean, any of us go to the agora, the meat bar, I mean, the marketplace, and you got meat. I mean, what did they do? You want a steak? What do? They scrape the flies and whatever else is on the meat off, and they'll size you what you want. And, I mean, it's a wonder. What if you were in a Greek market and they had a hog out there, and they didn't know anything about this trichinosis thing? And people could get sick and not even know what hit them in that matter. And so that was intercession. That was something you knew. You knew that anything you put in your mouth could make you sick. And it was because there was a lot of stuff you put in your mouth that could make you sick. You know, they didn't know how to boil. Well, I should say they didn't know how to, but they didn't have boiled water. They didn't have sanitation. They didn't have chlorine or anything to kill the bugs. So I'm sure there were a lot of people that had major issues from all of the friendly little vermin that were around, and it was all kinds of food. You know, we complain because we have bean sprouts and you get E. coli or, you know, one of those things from bean sprouts. Man, there was a threat every day, everywhere. And, you know, they worry about unpasteurized milk. And their potentials for that, they're far, far more than for us. They must have had steel guts. It's a wonder. Well, they were dying pretty young, when you realize. I mean, you were old at 40. And now you're just a young person. I think you're going to get talking to me at home.
They threw you under the bus.
Yeah. So, here we're getting ahead by related to this, but you can get in or see. But it's, supplication is cry for help for yourself or the other person. You don't know. There's always an unknown need with supplication. And asking communication doesn't occur real often, but you're asking for yourself. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, indicative mood. And so it's in the character of Christ. According to my will, 1 John 5, we'll be on all of this just to get there. And I'm not getting very far in Prasukamai. 1530 uses it. And I've got five passages here just to illustrate what I'm trying to say. I've gotten communication from people in a lot of places about this matter, and one guy wrote me and said, what about these because clauses, HINA clauses? And so I ended up doing that forum paper because he didn't really know the problems with all the prepositions. HINAs are nothing compared to the preposition issues on it. And they all are, I mean, they're all at the same time. These things are going on. And if it's dominated by worship, then these other kinds can take place. So in 15:30, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Okay? Now, it's interesting. You have prayers, and it almost says, this is the content of the prayer. And what he's doing, I think, here is doing, he's saying, while you're communicating worship, your mind will go to me. Look at what Paul had a lot to do with these people's lives. And you're worshiping. This is interesting how when you think of things about God, how God has taught you by his servants, and you think of those who taught. And sometimes you remember. It's interesting to me when someone has been taught something, and I'm always thrilled that God made an impact when somebody says, you taught this back when, and they remember it. And it was something, that was where God taught them that truth, and they remember that instant. And so that could be, as a person gets older, could be 25, 30 years before. And there are things, I mean, it's kind of funny, I think of that because I know it's been a little while ago I talked to someone and they still remembered something that had taken place about 15 years before. And it was, you know, me, I'm old. I forget those things. I'm not that old. I'm just a kid with gray hair.
You're over 40?
Did I make 40 yet?
Yeah, you're over 40.
I may have made
it. You're old. According to Caleb, then you're old now.
Anyway, Ephesians 6:18 is that passage we referred to earlier. We can look at it now. And this is that verse right after the putting your armor on. You put it on mentally. You stand. And 6:18 says you have the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17. Worshipping always with all worship and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you see, you have worship with supplication. And he tells you who you supplicate for. You're not standing there getting beaten up by Satan while you've got the armor on. He's not clanging his sword against your helmet. You're defended. So you're not in a state of panic. Help, help, help! He's, you know. That's not what happens. Now, you're standing there, and he says, it's supplication for who? All saints. So you've got two kinds of communication going on together in worship. It's just a key part of it. Isn't that slick when you think about it? You put the armor on, it's mental armor. Man, it's so easy to worship when you're thinking about those parts of the armor, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, your arms, yes. Your loins girt about with truth, and the sword of the Spirit, which is then utterance of God. And you start thinking, and you know you're putting that on mentally, and your mind just kind of, tends to focus on the one who provided it all and how it works. And those are really essential I mean, that's essential to the armor, and worship becomes a key part. So you're standing there defended and worshiping, and you're supplicating for somebody else, not yourself. And when that happens, that's really just awesome when you think about it. How you're there, and you may think of somebody that you know or have known in the past, long ago, and Satan is attacking you in a specific way, and you remember that they were pretty vulnerable to that attack. And so you think of them, and you say, help them if they get this kind of an attack. Help them to put the armor. Help them. And the best part, it's in your mind, and Satan has no idea that you're thinking that way, necessarily. Much of why you verbalize it, but in that matter. Philippians 1:9. We got two of them. You want to look at in Philippians? Oops. Philippians 1:9. Now this I am praying, this I am worshiping, that. Now that is a Hina clause, and he's adding a subject to this. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve. And I'm not going to read the whole sentence because it runs out at the end of 11. But you see these that's. And you read what it says and you say, oh, I know what that is. That little Hina clause is talking about intercession. Because he names it. He tells them, and he says, this is for you. I know you have this need, and I know I want to see this done. And so that's what he does. He's giving you content of intercession without saying, I'm worshiping and interceding. I would have loved to have been able to sit in a couple of classes with Paul. His instruction on communication. Because I think a lot of those saints learned this well. I really believe that part of the work of the Holy Spirit early was teaching them these truths that we're teaching in communication. That was an anchor for them. And I really believe that's what happened. They didn't have any written New Testament. Most of them didn't have it yet. You know, and here Paul addresses them, and they know. Not every letter, but almost every letter, you could say that Paul had taught them something about communication with God. One way or another. And that is really a special thing. That he equipped them so they could talk to God. And know how it worked. And did he do it in 12 weeks? Did he do it in 2 hours? My friends that I'm having such a grand time with right now, they probably got it in a couple hours. And that is the Thessalonian church. He wasn't there very long, and he says, pray without ceasing. Man, they understood what he was talking about. And he had taught them about it. And there are a number of other kinds in Thessalonica. I've got to quit doing what I tend to do. I start wanting to make lists in front of my chapters, and proofs, and I don't have enough room to write, so I have to fight the urge. And it would be real easy to make a list of kinds of communication up there. I want to put the titles in the way they're used. I want to put the fruit of the Spirit there, which I would recommend, and I did in the forum. If when you were in a book, look for the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. If you want, I can give you some blank charts on the fruit of the Spirit. And by blank charts, the one I handed out at the forum on the fruit of the Spirit, it's a blank chart with a blank for the book and all of that in Englishman's Greek stuff. And you can write your verses in. And if you have Englishman's Greek, all you have to do is you can put the page numbers in there of all things. To help. And when you do that, it helps you understand that church. But there is also another thing that we could put in that list, and that would be kinds of communication. Some lists would be longer than others. But it's really interesting when you know the background and how these little lists work. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. We've been here. This is one of our pivots. I was thinking earlier about pivoting into this, but I had interference and didn't do it. It was the chocolate cake that interfered. I'm glad you're having a birthday so I can give you a bad time.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter for my birthday.
You go ahead, Stu.
Like a birthday.
That's right.
No, anyway. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Let's read the right verse. Read 6 instead of 7. Why have we been doing that tonight? Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer. And here you have articles in front of the church too. By the prayer and the supplication. So we see them as isolated forms because of the definite article. Identifies and isolates. After Thanksgivings, I love it when I can almost tell. If I saw a Bible of anybody that had been through this class, I could just about bet that I'd see an after up there above with Thanksgiving. I mean, that's... And it's just, I mean, you look at it, and I can usually explain it after Thanksgivings. I did when we went through it. And that after is what? It's with an accusative. And so it's, that's the way it's translated. You don't translate it with. And that meta means with. But it's just a little rule of grammar that is fun. Now, all we're doing is it suggests a bit of an order. Being thankful early. But I can, that's one thing I would do if I were able to work a book. I would do a section on the order that's manifested in the New Testament, I mean, in Grace Revelation. And there is no set order. You don't have to start with Thanksgiving. But in this passage, you see there is an indication that in this Philippian passage, they started with Thanksgiving. And then you had worship, and you had supplication, and then you had requests. And when I see this iteo, which is askings, let them be made known to God, this close intimate relationship relates to your asking for yourself. And so you have the four kinds here as well. Okay, for 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is our passage, which I trust is, it may have seemed early in your Christian life and your Christian growth that this was a passage that was impossible. And in 5:17, it is such a long passage, you must have a terrible time trying to memorize it. Pray without ceasing. And it literally is pray without signing off. If we were playing the game with words and letters, Jesus wept is the shortest in the English Bible, but it's three words in the Hebrew, in the Greek Bible. It says the Jesus wept. This one is two words. I mean, fat though they may be, they're very, very big forms and nets. And so this is a short, but there's even that little bit shorter one in 16 where it says, always rejoice. And it's two words and it has less letters. And so between those three passages, the shortest verse in the Greek Bible is verse 16. And the next, if you're going to go by words, is this one. And it means not to hang it up. Don't. It says don't terminate. Don't stop it. It's the fatness of that word. You have a negative in front of it, the alpha, dia, and then lipo. And he says don't go through the idea of ceasing it or stopping it. And so that works out. I mean, it's a modern way we can understand it. He says, just don't, want to do it a different way? Don't turn off the key. Keep it running. Well, that's a bad one these days. It was in Hillsboro. I'm going to have to start shopping for gas again in Hillsboro. It was 99.9 here in the stations, and in there it was, I saw one there was 89.9. I mean, it's almost worth it on that. So it's awful. I wouldn't drive in there for it, but if I had to drive in there anyway, I probably might. Is that the price of the station around the corner from you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right there at the corner.
That Arco.
Mm-hmm. That's where we live, right on that street.
No.
Hey, you'd never been to our house, Dad. That's right.
No, nobody's hospitable to me.
I know. You need to come over and have some dinner one day. You're so busy.
Well, the way my nights go, I just...
Breakfast might be bad.
Me and Courtney have talked about it, but we're trying to haven't figured out a day that we can even try.
No. No, I have this ongoing commitment with Kenya. It's, you know, I know there's some other people kind of hanging around, but we...
Annoying adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, anyway, my mind is going the wrong direction. That just tells me I'm tired. Okay. When we don't know how to worship in a proper manner, this is Romans 8. You know, if we think we've got problems with how to talk to God about things, and this is Romans 8:26. You don't have a doctor's degree in theology proper. We're all growing and we're all learning and we want to say things to God and we just can't articulate it. We can't figure out what we want to say about Him. We know there's something. I'd like to use the word in this. I sense something that it can't put my finger on. But I want to say to Him, it's just somewhere out there on the edge of some of what I know. And what does it say here? Whoops, got to get the right page. And what it says here in 8:26 of Romans, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, Lord, from infirmities, weaknesses, for we do not know what we should worship, or how we should worship. I like to do it how, but... And so what happens? The Spirit Himself, you need to change that if you haven't, itself is, because it is neuter, but pneuma is a proper name, and so it should be Himself. That's an insult. You know, I say it about the things above when people say, well, that's Jesus Christ. And I say, don't you dare call my Savior a thing. A thing. Don't do it. But here the Holy Spirit, you don't call Him an it because He's a person. And that's a title given Him that is neuter. This is not the only neuter name in the Greek language. And so Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He's groaning because He knows that we have problems with this. No. That's not what it says. He communicates in a way that we could not begin to comprehend. And it will say what we want to, but don't know about. I mean, He's filling in the blanks. And His intercessory ministry helps us talk to God. And so in our worship, when we understand this, and we start to have trouble, and you say, oh, I forgot, there's something I knew it from that class in theology proper, and I can't remember it, and it's not coming through, and I know it had something to do with what I'm thinking about here, and the Holy Spirit will look up the page and give it out of the theology proper notes. he does that. He'll do it better than we ever could. That's the fun part of it. And so God helps us in these areas, perfectly. When the Holy Spirit touches our lives in any of this communication, in whatever kind, that's more passive. I mean, we receive things and you've heard stories with the asking kinds, like intercession or supplication. Somebody wakes up in the middle of the night and they have somebody just like a burden in their mind. And so they say, help, God, I don't know what's on my mind, I don't know why. You know, and then you do that. And you look at the clock and you say, oh, that's what time it is. And you realize the day for something has gone on. And they come back from where they are 2 years later and they said, this is what God did. And you think, the time, the day, and that was exactly when you had that impression you needed to do some communicating for them. So when 2 years later you find out, hey, God let you participate in something, and you're encouraged later, that's great, isn't it? I think it is. You know, and I mean that you just never know. And I always wonder about some of the people I've communicated for when I really feel led to communicate for them. Because I wonder what's going on when I'm led that way. And often I find out sometimes I haven't. Years and years and years and years later, I've had opportunity to find out that God has been doing good work in somebody's life, I remember. And the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. And so we need to remember this. Paul practiced this thing of communicating with God without ceasing. Without ceasing word is an interesting word in that it doesn't occur real often. But notice in Colossians 1 and verse 9, it says, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray or to worship for you. And the for there is a preposition which is on behalf of you, which is either supplication or intercession. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so he says, we do not cease. Now, what's the difference between continual and continuous? In Oregon, what would you prefer, continual rainfall or continuous rainfall?
Continual. Neither.
Well, yeah, beside neither. Yeah, what's the difference between the two? I mean, the only reason I know any of this is I had Mrs. Davis is a high school English teacher. Ma Davis is what we called her behind her back. She was a little old lady that rode around the classroom to the rhythmical reading of the Charge of the Light Brigade and by the class, and she got a she had two of these things, the open windows, there were posts, and she rode one, and she got the biggest klutz in our class to ride the other one. And they went around with the rhythm of the class reading the Charge of the Light Brigade.
Half a leg.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't think that kid ever gave her trouble anymore after that. She embarrassed him to just about tears. He was a loud mouth. But the continuous. Continual rainfall or continuous?
Continuous means without stopping.
That's what I thought. Continual means that it happens, but that it can't stop. Right? That's what
I think. Now you're confusing me.
Continually.
I think it's the other way around.
If you have a
continuous ongoing, isn't it?
Continuous rain means it doesn't have a break.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between the two of them. Now I'm going to make sure.
Continual is so similar.
No, that was the trickiness.
Can stop. Come on, boys.
Well, the difference, what I'm saying, is our communication is not the non-stopping, but it's broken up.
It's just continual.
It's ongoing, but it may have ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. but it's always present.
Does Mrs. Davis, other teacher, student, remember this?
All the time, nonstop.
It's going to tell us that it's the opposite of that.
Do you know, Dale?
Oh. Okay. Okay, continual is happening over and over again, repeated often. Okay, going in rapid succession, so you were right.
Okay.
Woo. Mm-hmm. Continual.
One in a million.
Yeah. Yeah, so continual is, if there's intervals, whereas the other one is just constant, continuous. And that we are continuals in our worship. And it's interesting in Paul. Now, the statistic here I would argue with a little, probably, that I have in your notes, the 27 recorded prayers of Paul. I'm not sure that that's the most accurate way to handle it. Some of them, it's pretty clear. But one thing you can say, amen is only found one time in all of his communication. And so I think he kind of practiced it. What is amen? It's not really quite signing off. It's just saying, what I've just said is true.
I agree.
Or, I agree. I believe. Those are all definitions that relate to amen, which is the Hebrew word. So when you read that, I smiled when Don did his paper because he was punching on the amen, amens. And I had to smile because I was curious to how he's going to end up handling it with it. Because that's really emphatic when you have a pair of them. But it's like the amen. In the Psalms, they said Selah often. And Selah has the idea of sit down on a rock and think about it. And it's a unique kind of little thing you see in the Psalms. And so... Now, the funny part is that Selah is a clay for clay, gets a big as life rock. Yeah. Okay, if a believer suffers bad, let him pray a prayer of worship. That's James chapter 5 and verse 13. And we'll do these two and then we'll come back. James 5, 13 and 14. We will be back here when we get to vowel communication. But in 5:13. Okay. It says, is any among you afflicted? Now this word afflicted, that means to suffer bad. That's why I put it in there that way. Let him worship. If you're afflicted. If you get your mind on things above, if you have long-term illness or some kinds of issues like that where you're very limited in what you can do, it's a good opportunity to get into some worship practice. Takes your minds off of things, puts it on persons in the heavens. And that, it's kind of interesting in that if you're suffering bad, hard to do sometimes. I was told that I had the flu when I was sick. I had a post-sickness diagnosis when I saw my doctor yesterday. And he said, was it this way and this way and this way? Oh, yeah, you got it. It was flu. And so in almost 3 weeks, you did okay. It's about average. I said, yeah, thanks. The only thing I didn't do, I should have called him because I didn't remember what I could take and what I can't take. So I said, I need to know. So I wrote it down. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to tape it on a cover, inside a cupboard door or something so I know if it happens again. I was miserable. And it was hard. I mean, I tried to do this. And it was kind of funny. I would work and study or prepare or teach, whatever, and I would be ready to shift gears and start working for them or notes, sit down, and my worship, my head went right to heaven. I don't remember a thing. I mean, I just went, the lights went out. And it happened. Oh, I don't know how many days. And I could sit down any time, and I said, I just need to rest for just a minute. 2 hours later, it seemed like everyone was 2 hours long. And I'm sitting, wake up, and I don't have the time. But I was just weaker than a kitten. And, I tried. And I was just sick enough where it wouldn't work. I'm going to practice worship in my dreams. Maybe that'll work. Anyway, and so it says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him psalm it. And those are worship kinds of things in themselves. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them worship over him and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So he says, come and worship, have them worship him, walk over him, worship in front, before him, and lead in worship. And they worship and get his mind there. And what do? They lay holy hands on empty heads. Now, it's a long verse. They anoint him with oil. What kind of oil did they use? They used olive oil. Olive oil has some amazing medicinal advantages from everything that I've read. And did they have aspirin? Well, there were some peoples that would chew bark from willow trees, but they didn't bring that because they did not have, they had herbs and that kinds of thing, but as good a medicine as they had was olive oil. And that they would massage the body and it would give them a little comfort, help ease some of the issues. And so, what he's saying here, they pray a prayer of worship, and they did the best they could when it came to medicating. It wasn't anointing with oil because it was hocus pocus oil. Because, there are a lot of people that say, when you anoint with oil, it's hocus pocus oil. You know, you pray for the oil, and it now becomes holy oil instead of holy water. And it has medicinal capabilities. Wouldn't that be nice if that were true? But it isn't. And then, okay, get the red pen out and see if I can do any better this time. Okay, that's 1, 2. I need to put some of those tabs on this, though. Maybe the way to do it would be put a bright colored binder clip on it.
You only have 4 more weeks to finish all this, huh?
No, I can talk pretty fast for 4 weeks. No, we're not going to get it all the way done, but we'll get there. You'll get the guts of it. Okay. Anyway, Father, may you bless us and the rest of the evening in this class. And we're thankful for the opportunity to be together. Remember Don and Sheldon Light, we miss them. Trust you bless them and their lives as well. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen.